Okay, blink and you'll miss it. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'm reading from the ESV. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen.
Oh, good morning, church. Wow. That was good. Isn't the Lord good? And, you know, he's extra good when things are bad. Have you noticed that? You know, when we've had a terrible week or things are going wrong or people don't turn up because they're ill or whatever it may be, it's even great because you see God move in those times, and that's really wonderful. Well, we can rejoice in all sorts of things. There we go. And one thing we can rejoice in is, of course, many people right now are planning their summer holidays. Who's thinking of going on holiday? Yeah, gone sorted already. Well done, that's right. We're all looking forward, aren't we? And, you know, now things are looking brighter. We can look forward. And I love holidays. I love travel. I love going anywhere. I really do. And for me, part of the holiday is the planning. I love looking forward and planning the hotel and the journey and everything. Of course, people have often planned for journeys in different ways. Originally, they looked for the sun. Of course, the wise men were guided by a star. And then later on in, what was it, the 11th century or so, we had some form of compass to show us the way. Nowadays, of course, we have sat-navs. Don't you love sat-navs? My sat-nav once told me, when possible, do a U-turn. Then, do a U-turn. Whatever. So I didn't listen to it on that occasion, but normally they're very, very good. Of course, many of us still like a paper map. I love a paper map. You can tear a paper map. You can't tear a computer screen. But there we go. I love a paper map. And if all else fails, we always have the street signs, don't we? So somehow or another, we get where we want to be. Well, of course, today we're looking at Abraham and how God led him. You see, his journey was somewhat different. Not only did Abraham not know the direction, he didn't even know the destination. Because when Nick asked me to preach on this, the first scripture that came to me really was this one in Hebrews. By faith, Abraham went even though he didn't know where he was going. He went even though he had no destination, even though he didn't really understand why he was going. Now, some people have argued perhaps he was a nomad, but that doesn't make sense. There were two types of nomad. There was the long-distance nomad who was always on the road. Then there was semi-nomads who moved to get flock for their grass for their flocks and that sort of thing. But you see, Abraham doesn't fit into either of those. They were more city dwellers, home lovers. They were settled. But here God moved him on. And God said to him, Abraham, go even though you don't know where you're going. How's that for a journey? You know, we're going on holiday today. Good, where are you going? I haven't got a clue. What do I need to pack? I don't really know. In fact, I did last year, some of you know, was our special anniversary, and I said to Rosie, we're going away for the weekend, so you need to pack a bag. Well, where are we going? What do I need to pack? She wanted to know. Here he was going, not knowing where he was going. Someone once said of Columbus that he didn't know where he was going, he didn't know where he was, and when he got home, he didn't know where he'd been. Well, Abraham went, not knowing where he was going. I think he knew where he was when he got there. But he was going for a promised land, somewhere he knew nothing about. God tells him, go from your country, go from your people, go from your father's household to the land I will show you. Basically, what God was saying is go from everything you love, everything you count as precious, everything you enjoy, just leave that and go somewhere, but I'm not telling you where. That doesn't seem a very good proposition, does it? It kind of happened to Michaela this morning. God said, leave all your plans behind, and I'm going to take you somewhere where you haven't got the clue where you're going. That's right, isn't it, Michaela? Yeah. Good journey. I enjoyed it anyway. We all did. But God said this. He told them to leave and go. Perhaps God is challenging you today to leave, not a geographical maybe, to leave physically, but to leave something behind, a burden, an action, a sin, wrong thought, anger, frustration, sadness, bitterness, sorrow. The list goes on. Maybe God is saying to you, leave that behind. And that was certainly so. And we read right at the beginning that the Lord had said to Abraham, and that "had said" is important. That "had said" comes to life in Acts. In Acts 7, verses 23, we see Stephen being stoned. And he says this, "Listen to me, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran." So before this, God had said. God had said. It was something that God had already said. This wasn't just going off into some blind journey. It was something that God had been working in him for some time. God had said it. God had started to prepare him. This wasn't some just go with the latest thing. You know, there's a danger, and I've seen it several times, where the latest thing is whatever, and people have just gone. Oh, well, I heard someone that went to this place and they're really blessed. I'll just go. A lot of people now are doing it this way, so I'll just do it that way. But you see, this wasn't just Abraham didn't wake up one morning and think, let's just go on a journey to nowhere. He didn't do that. God had this prepared. God had said, and that was very clear. And Abraham knew this. It was an important phrase that God had said. And that's important. God spoke. Someone suggested up to this point, we see that God had spoken to his people up to about 30 times. God communicates. Of course, we see it in Genesis. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. God speaks to his people. God speaks to us. God spoke to Abraham, go. Go already. But God had already started to sort things out. To God, the process had already begun. This isn't just blind faith. This is obedience. And there's a difference. God doesn't encourage us just to leap off a bridge and throw ourselves into the water. But he does prepare the way. There's a difference. God speaks. Sometimes he gives very clear directions. Sometimes we know exactly what we're doing and we just know the timing and we've got it all written down in our diaries. Isn't that wonderful? So they tell me. But when we go according to God's direction, there's blessing. And the next three verses, or these three verses really, fall into three categories. We see that he promised that God would bless him, that God would bless others through him, and that God's blessings were around him. And that's the comfort we have when we go, when we move. Perhaps God's encouraging us as a church to move a certain way, to go forward. Maybe God's encouraging you to move into some different form of worship. Maybe as we were worshipping this morning, and maybe you've not worshipped in that way before, or maybe you're watching this and you think, what's that church up to? Maybe God wants to encourage you to move forward in worship, to move forward in service, to move forward in witnessing. Of course, we're in the middle of that wonderful course, aren't we, about evangelism. Maybe God's encouraging you just to open up your mouth and tell someone about Jesus. You're sitting here saying, well, I would never know what to say. Many years ago, and this was many years ago, it was in the days when you felt safe to pick up people who were thumbing for a lift. And I was traveling a lot in ministry, and I saw this young guy thumbing for a lift, so I stopped. I felt it was the right thing to do. I always prayed first, and he jumped in the car. And I just knew that I was there to witness to him. So I tried all the openings that I knew. Yeah, I've been trained with this stuff. I know what I'm doing. So I was going from Hampshire to Brighton, where I was living. And so we started saying, oh, you're going to Brighton. Do you live there? Oh, yes, yes, I do. Oh, what have you been doing in Hampshire then? And he told me, to which he was supposed to reply, what were you doing in Hampshire? To which I would have said, well, I was preaching. And then I could have told him about the Lord. But he didn't. So So I said, oh, have you got any plans for the week? Oh, yes, he said. All these plans, to which he was supposed to say, have you got any plans for the week? And I said, yes, I've got plans. I'm preaching a message. And this is what I... But he didn't. And we were getting, and I tried this several times, that sort of text. And I'm getting a bit, Lord, I know you want me to talk, but just get him to say something. Anyway, we're getting near Brighton by this time. And in the end, desperation hit me. And without thinking, I just said, and what do you think about God? I don't think that's in your training material, is it? No. But it worked on that occasion. Just maybe God's encouraging you and saying, go and witness to people. Go to your next door neighbour. Go to those around you. Go to your relatives. Tell them about the love of God. And as I said, there are rewards. His blessing in verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name, that's amazing, your name great. Here is a real turning point. God is moving on. You see, up to this time, in the first 11 chapters, we see disobedience all the way, basically, right from the garden through to Noah and the floods because of people's sin. But now God is moving. Now God is doing something. And we see that God has changed direction in a sense. You see, that we see at one time they were banished from the garden. There was the flood. And then there was the Tower of Babel, God dealing with this. But in Genesis 15, 18, we read this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, moving on from where we were. It says, do not be afraid. I am your shield and very great reward. You see, there's a blessing when we move with God in whatever area that might be. He says, I am your shield and your very great reward. I love rewards, but I love a very great one. What a blessing. The blessing of covenant with Abraham and his people. God is moving. God is speaking. And we see this in different ways. We see that God had for him a promised land, that God was going to move. And here we see three promises. First of all, there was that promise of land. He says in Genesis 12, 7, to your offspring, I will give this land. There's a promise. And Abraham is called to go to a place he didn't know. God was going to, excuse me. God was going to give him a land, but he didn't know what it was. Maybe God's going to give you something, some ministry, some wonderful experience, and you don't know yet where it was. But it says here in Hebrews 11:8, as we said, that he obeyed and went without knowing, went forward. Secondly, there was a promise of descendants. If you've lost a frog, it's down in my throat. I'll let you have it later. There was a promise of descendants there in Genesis 17, 1 to 6, when Abraham, it says, was 90 years old. I think that takes in most of us here. Yep, just about. Yeah, there or thereabouts. And he says this, you will be the father of many nations. That's a word when you're 90. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham. For I have made you father of many nations. Here's where God changes his name from just an exalted father to a father of many nations. And Sarai too has a name change. God moved in such a way, this great blessing. When we move with God, there is a blessing of land there and a blessing of descendants. And here he changed his name to be the father of many, the promise of many nations. many years ago, excuse me again. Many years ago, Rosie and I had the same make of car. It was many years ago, and the make of car was a Skoda. Now, I know Skodas these days are very, very good, but in those days, they weren't. There were sayings like, how do you overtake a Skoda? Answer, you run. What do you call a Skoda at the top of a hill? A miracle. You've heard them all. Why do Skodas have heated rear screens to keep your hands warm when you're pushing it? I heard them all. I really did. And I had a Czech friend, and I said to his Czechoslovakian friend, Skoda. I said, it's from your country, yes. I said, does the word Skoda mean anything? You know, is it a word? Oh, yes, she said, it is. The word is Škoda, it's pronounced. Oh, I said, that's interesting. Does it mean anything? Yes, she said. I said, what does it mean? What a pity. I drive a car called What a Pity. My goodness me. It got worse because we were getting married when I had this car, and someone put a sign at the bottom of the car the night before we were getting married. I'm getting married in the morning. That was okay. But above was the word Skoda. So what I actually said is, I'm getting married in the morning. What a pity. Suppose you might think that was apt, but I don't know. But there was a promise of land, a promise of descendants, and the promise of blessing and redemption. Here God was leading not into a blind alley, but to a promised land, a promised place where he would establish his covenant, establish his people forever. But he had to go, not knowing. Hebrews 11 says this, verse 8, by faith he went that he would receive his inheritance. We see in verse 16 a promised inheritance that has not yet been seen, that God has prepared a city. That here he was on a journey to a promised land, and from that promised land to an even greater promised land. So God promised to bless him. Secondly, God promised blessing to others through him. We are blessed, but we're blessed to be a blessing. We're not blessed just to keep things. We're blessed to be a blessing to others. Notice what he says here. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God's promise to make a blessing through him. You are called to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to each other here, and to be a blessing to others that you work with, you live with, your neighbours, people you see in your social life. You are here to be a blessing. But notice that this blessing just didn't fall. There were various personal challenges. There are challenges with this blessing. We see that Abraham had to rescue, and the trouble of rescuing his nephew Lot. There was that personal test when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Talk about a test. You thought this morning was a test. God was there, even there, because God had promised to bless him. There's a lovely quote I heard not too long ago. It was from George Bush Jr. talking about the 9/11 situation. And he said this, a crisis is not character building, but character revealing. It reveals what's already in you. For Abraham, when he was called to go, not where he knew he was going, to go to a land he didn't know where, built real character. It revealed what was in him. And what was in him was a desire to serve God, an openness to move in the plan and purpose of God. He didn't know where he was going, and he didn't see any reason to go. He was settled. He was a settled person. He was there. And God says, go. Why? I'm happy where I am. I'm happy with my life as it is, Lord. I don't need my life to change. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm comfortable doing the things I'm doing. I'm comfortable living the way I live, saying the things I'm saying. But God moved him on. God moves us on, and in doing so reveals what's really in our lives. Maybe God is calling you to be a blessing in a different way. And we get that challenge in Luke chapter 6, verse 28, where Jesus tells us to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who mistreat you. To be a blessing to others. Not just a blessing to nice people, but to those who are against you. And finally, God promised to be blessings around him. He called him to be blessed, to be a blessing, and to be surrounded, to have blessings around him. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. It's my understanding that it's this, I will bless you, plural, I will curse you, singular, focusing on him. I'll curse those who curse you, singular. Those whose aim is to attack you, I will curse. I am against them if they're against you. I will stand up for you. You see, when he said go, it wasn't a gentle word. It wasn't, look, when you're ready, just move forward. It was more akin to get out. Just get out of here. Just get moving. So here we see God's blessing and cursing. He will bless those who bless you. God knew about blessing people. He was good at blessing. He blessed mankind in chapter 1. Chapter 9, he blessed Noah and his family. Of course, he recognized that in Noah, he was a great architect. Now, it never does work. But he moved forward. Abraham was blessed. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek. Abraham was blessed with a family, with son, according to the will of God. And towards the end of Abraham's life, it says in Genesis 24, verse 1, the Lord had blessed him in every way. God said, I will bless those who bless you. He was blessed. But God also said, I will stand against those, curse those who are against you. So there were cursings. And God knew this. We know this well, don't we? In the beginning of Genesis, of course, he cursed the serpent. The ground was cursed. Cain was cursed. Canaan was cursed. But notice this, in Genesis 26, it says this in verse 3, stay in this land for a while. I will be with you. I will bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give you all these lands and will confirm. He will confirm that. He will stand against those who are against him. He will stand firm against those who are against him. But notice what it says in 26:3, for a while. Throughout Abraham's journey, he was victorious because God was with him, protecting him, standing with him against those who are against him. In Romans 4, it says this, a wonderful scripture there in Romans. It says, against all hope, against all attacks, against every situation, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Yet he did not waver. Whatever attacks came to him, whatever happened, he was strengthened in his faith, it says. So we draw this thing to a close. Notice that God said, I will bless you, I will bless those through you, and I will be a blessing around you where people bless you, but where people curse you, I will stand against them too. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says of us, praise be to the God, this is Paul starting his letter, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every way, blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We too, when we go forward, know that every blessing. And he did. He went forward. God's Spirit, we've heard recently, does not make cowards of us. He went forward. It says also in 1 Corinthians 1:26 that God chooses not the strong, but God chooses the foolish things. He chooses the weak things. He chooses you and me. He chose Abraham because God's Spirit gives us power, as we've been saying in our yearly verse. And of course, Abraham could not have done any of this on his own strength. By faith, when called to go to a place, he obeyed and went, even though he knew absolutely nothing. You see, because God's Spirit is with us and gives us that self-control. He couldn't have done it by himself. So where is God leading each of us, individually and as a group? Where is he asking you to go? But most importantly, to go forward, you leave behind. What do we need to leave behind? Some attitude, some action, the way we think, the things we do, some bitterness, some sorrow, some anger. We leave those behind to go forward into new things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you led Abraham and Sarai. You led them forward, but they didn't know where they were going. They couldn't see why they had to go. They couldn't have done it in their own strength, but you were with them. You are with us. Lead us as a church forward. Challenge us as a church to leave what we do behind where we need to. We pray that each individual person here, that each of us will be determined to move forward in a new relationship with you, to leave behind anything that hinders us, to be obedient to your word and follow you. Amen.